with the mellifluous name Ephemelu writes a blog while holding a fellowship at Princeton. The blog is entitled Race Teenth, or Various Observations About Blacks, those formerly known as Negroes, by a non-American black. I could easily review Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's novel Americana simply by quoting from the many blogs incorporated into the novel, and I will quote a few. At its simplest, this is a love story. Ephemelu and Obinza meet in grade school in Lagos and have an essential connection thereafter, though they go to different continents, have other lovers, take on new personas. But while the love story aspect remains right to the end of this long and intricate novel, it's really Ephemelu's story, and Adichie has admitted that much of it is based on her own life. I was reminded of Jhumpa Lahiri, the Indian novelist, as I read this, because, like her characters, Ephemelu and Obinza are children of relatively affluent and well-educated parents when Nigeria is under a military dictatorship. And while they both desire to go to the U.S., it's not primarily for economic reasons. Obinza dreams of studying literature at Princeton. Ephemelu is less romantic in her views of the U.S. and much less certain of wanting to leave her country and her family. Ironically, and due to the politics of the times, it is she who gets the visa and ends up at Princeton. He is unable to get a travel visa and finally enters England illegally. When the reader first meets Ephemelu, she's been in the States for 13 years, and she's already decided to return to Nigeria, not because she's particularly unhappy, but simply because she wants to go home. Much of the novel, like the blogs, is critical not only of American racism, but of Americanas, with an A-H-S at the end, Nigerians who return to Nigeria only to judge it by their learned American tastes. Everywhere she turns her eye, Ephemelu is analytic and usually critical, but with an underlying empathy. To note a few of her observations, quoting from the book, she did not understand grunge, the idea of looking shabby because you could afford not to be shabby. It mocked true shabbiness. And another quote, it was absurd how women's magazines forced images of small-boned, small-breasted white women on the rest of multi-boned, multi-ethnic world of women to emulate. But I keep reading them, she said. It's like smoking. It's bad for you, but you do it anyway. Close quote. There are a wealth of one-liners in this novel that would give you a real taste of its essence. But since the blogs play such an important part in the novel, I want to quote one longish blog to give you an idea of how the author is allowed to step back in some way, even from her lead character, and adopt a cool, critical voice while reflecting on what it is for a foreign-born black person to live in the U.S. And quoting the blog, "Understanding America for the Non-American Black." American tribalism in America. Tribalism is alive and well. There are four kinds: class, ideology, region, and race. First, class, pretty easy, rich folk and poor folk. Second, ideology, liberal and conservatives. They don't merely disagree on political issues. Each side believes the other is evil. Intermarriage is discouraged, and on the rare occasion that it happens, is considered remarkable. Third, region, the North and the South. The two sides fought in a civil war, and tough stains from that war remain. The North looks down on the South while the South resents the North. Finally, race. There's a ladder of racial hierarchy in America. White is always on top, specifically white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, otherwise known as WASP. And American black is always on the bottom. And what's in the middle depends on time and place. Or, as that marvelous rhyme goes, if you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, get back. Americans assume that everyone will get their tribalism, but it takes a while to figure it all out. So, in undergrad, we had a visiting speaker, and a classmate whispers to another, "Oh, my God, he looks so Jewish," with a shudder, an actual shudder, like Jewish was a bad thing. I didn't get it. As far as I could see, the man was white, not much different from the classmate herself. Jewish to me was something vague, something biblical. But I learned quickly. You see, in America's ladder of races, Jewish is white, but also some rungs below white. A bit confusing, because I knew this straw-haired, freckled girl who said she was Jewish. How can Americans tell who is Jewish? I read somewhere how American colleges used to ask applicants for their mother's surnames to make sure they weren't Jewish, because they wouldn't accept Jewish people. So maybe that's how to tell. From people's names? The longer you're here, the more you start to get it. Close quote. Efemelu does return to Nigeria, to Lagos. Once there, she starts a new blog, one critical of Americanas. As in her American blog, there's humor, but also insight and a social surgeon's eye. She also, although not immediately, takes up with Obinze again, who is now wealthy as a land speculator and married with children. While there are several short sections of the book dealing with Obinze's life, his illegal entry into England and his deportation, it is really only in the final section that his inner life is fleshed out a bit, his agony over his love for Efemelu and what that means for his wife and his children. The reader believes his inner turmoil, and while the blogs take aim at the sexism rife in Nigeria, Adichie makes it clear that Obinze is genuinely conflicted, loves his wife and family in spite of being unable to put Efemelu and their love behind him. I won't tell you how the love story ends except to say that it is not idealized. The lead character in this novel is remarkably well drawn, complex, with contradictory desires and values. I confess to knowing next to nothing about Nigeria nor its political history, but Adichie certainly does her best to give us a long look at Nigeria as well as England and America. This was actually her fourth book, and I intend to read everything she's written. She's a wonderful writer with a rich global view. I've been talking about Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's 2013 novel, Americana. This is Larry Bolden for the Omo Variety Hour.